want to ask you a question tonight, and I'm not going to do what Stan did. I'm not going to ask you to all show your Bibles, but I want to ask you, where do these come from? Don't say a printer. I know somebody might do that. Don't say it was given to me by my wife or given to me by my husband or my children on my birthday. But originally, where do the things that are in here come from? You're right. And you've already seen it up here because he put the screen up for you. It's interesting. Our word this week is the word inspiration. You know that word is only found in the King James, and it's only found twice in the King James, either inspired or inspiration. It's not a word that you find in Scripture, really. And you know the passage in the, might help if I turn this on, in the King James translation of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we find this statement that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know the rest, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's verse 17 also. I memorized both of them. I always kind of include that one. But that's the King James translation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. New American Standard, which I typically work out of, says this: all Scripture is inspired of God, and, as we have already said, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. If you're reading tonight from an NIV, here's what yours says: all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's that phrase that you find in the King James, given by inspiration of God, or inspiration of God, that you find in the New American Standard that says that our Scriptures are inspired of God. And it is this statement right here, this phrase, or this little part right here in the New International Version that says it is God-breathed. Those phrases all come from one basic word. It is the word in the Greek, theonoustos. You say, I don't know Greek, and that's okay. You don't have to know Greek. But I want you to focus for just a moment upon that word. It's actually two words to combine one. It is from the word theo, or theos, from which we, the Greek word for God. And it is from the word noustos, which comes from another word, or is kind of derived from another word, pneuma, which means breath or wind or spirit. And so those two words, when put together, are the words that are translated by the King James as inspiration of God. They are translated by the New American Standard as inspired of God, by the English Standard Version as breathed out by God. But the one that's closest is the NIV, because it says literally what the Greek says right here. It's God-breathed. What you hold in your hand tonight, the words, not that book, not the pages upon which it's written, but the words which come down to us after thousands of years, or words which were breathed out by God. Or let me share it with you another way. You might say, well, how did God do that? Well, Peter kind of explains it to us. If you'll look there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, first of all, know this first of all, what? That no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but... And I've underlined this: men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. There are three things that Peter says in those two verses. Number one, he says that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. It's not up to a man, not to a single man, to determine this is what I want it to say or this is what I want Scripture to say. Nor, he says, was it ever made by just an act of human will. Men didn't just decide, well, I'm going to prophesy and I'm going to say this is what God said. He said, no, that's not how it came down to us. He said, the way we got the Word of God is that the Holy Spirit moved men to speak on God's behalf. What you read, your translation, is a translation of the words that were spoken by men down through the centuries, over a period of 1,400 years. Maybe I should say 1,500 if we go up to 100 AD. 1,500 years in which God is working through different individuals to communicate His will to us. And that's why we say that what we hold is inspired of God. What you have in your hands, what you study in your homes, what you bring to this building and study in a Bible class or sit and thumb through as someone is standing up here and preaching, folks, you are holding something that is very precious because you're holding God's Word. It is God's communication with you. And it has come from Him. It's not something that man just devised. There are those that would argue that. That there are things that men have just dreamed up, put together, and decided this is the way we want people to believe and this is what we want people to think a God said at some point in history. No. It's not what it is. It's God speaking to you. But as you think about what God has said and what God has done, I want you to consider a couple of passages, especially along this line. How did God do it? At the Last Supper, John chapters 13 through 17 basically give that to us. In John chapter 16, there beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 15, Jesus tells His disciples that He has many more things to say to them. But He says to them also, you can't bear them right now. They're not something that you can take in. But I want you to notice what He says from that point forward, because I've underlined some things that give us an understanding of what Jesus is telling us, is going to happen. And He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes. Well, who is the Spirit of truth? It is the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit was not going to come until Jesus left. He had to leave the earth, and then He was going to send the Spirit, which we, as we read in Acts chapter 2, came and bestowed upon the 12 the power of the Spirit so that they could speak in tongues and continue to communicate God's will. But when He comes, notice what He says. He will guide you into all truth. So God is going to work through His Holy Spirit to guide these men into all the truth. And He tells them, He's not going to speak on His own initiative. No. What He is going to say to you is whatever He hears. That's what He's going to speak. Well, where is it going to come from? It's going to come from God. He says He will disclose to you what is to come. And then He goes on to say, He will glorify Me, for He will, notice this, He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. And then He concludes by saying, all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of Mine, or He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. So here it is in a synopsis, if you will. What Jesus is saying to the disciples is, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to come after I'm gone. When the Holy Spirit comes, here's what He's going to do. He's going to communicate to you what He hears. He's going to hear what the Father or I tell Him, and then He's going to communicate that to you, and He's going to disclose to you the things that God wants you to know. That's how God is communicating with you. Well, do you remember what Jesus told His disciples to do? To go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, who's going to bring to their remembrance all these things that Jesus had said? Holy Spirit. Who's going to give them an understanding in all the things that Jesus had taught them over this period of 3 years or 3.5 years? Holy Spirit. Who's going to guide them as they write their letters, especially Paul, to the individual churches? Holy Spirit. Spirit of God is going to communicate God's will to these men. Now, down through the centuries past, God communicated, first of all, as Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, through the fathers. He spoke through the fathers, beginning with Adam and coming down through Noah to Abraham until the days of Moses, and then he began to speak through his prophets. That's what the writer tells us. In these last days, he says he's spoken to us through his Son. But in each of those cases, it's God who is speaking and God who is communicating to us what he wants and what he wants us to know. All right? Now, the question is, what is it that God is communicating to us? If he's giving us, through his inspiration, something that he wants us to know, what is it he's communicating? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul there talks about a specific type of wisdom. He tells us it's not the wisdom, and let me just share with you the passage. He says, we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, he says, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. So he begins by saying, the wisdom that we're sharing with you is a wisdom that doesn't come from this age. It doesn't even come from the rulers of this age. It's not something that you're going to go out on the street corner and pick up. It's not something you're going to open an encyclopedia and find. It's not something that man has just dreamed up and put together on his own. No. Notice what he says. He says, we speak to you God's wisdom. That wisdom is different from the wisdom of the world. And he tells us that God's wisdom in a mystery, he says, we speak to you God's wisdom in a mystery, and then he refers to it as the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. So it's a hidden wisdom, something God predestined before the ages, and Paul says, to our glory. And then he says, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. Someone asked me before we got started tonight about the shooting today and things that are just going on in our world. Why? Folks, we have people that for years have tried to direct society based upon what they think is best. And a lot of those individuals have misguided so many people. Why? Because their wisdom is not the wisdom of God. They're relying upon a wisdom that they themselves have worked up in their own thinking and in their own minds, and it's led them astray. And so what we find is there is a wisdom that comes from God. As a matter of fact, as Paul is talking here, he says, if they had understood this wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had understood what God was doing, if they had had an understanding of how God had and decided to do things, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then Paul pulls in this. He says, just as this is written, things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard, and all that which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. He says, these are things they don't know. They don't know there are things that they have not seen with their eyes, they have not heard with their ears, they have not even considered in their minds, it has entered into the heart of man, that God has prepared for those who love Him. But then notice what He says in the very next sentence. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. Well, what did God reveal? Well, if you go back up at the beginning, He says, the things which eye has not seen, which ear has not heard, what has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. No, you won't find that in worldly wisdom. You find that in what God reveals, what God shares with us. And then He goes on to talk about how the Spirit searches the things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit which is in him? But then notice what He says about God. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. You can't know the thoughts of God. Why? Because Isaiah says in Isaiah 55 that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. We can't begin to comprehend what God understands and knows and takes in. What He devises, how He plans everything out. Why? Because only God knows those things. But notice what He goes on to say. He says, the spirit of the world doesn't know the thoughts of God. But then He tells us, but the Spirit who is from God. Now the Spirit who is from God, that is who, as He says here, causes us to know the things freely given to Him by God. All right? Freely given to us by God. And Paul says, this is what we speak. What's he talking about? He says, it's words. Words not taught by human wisdom. No. It is words that, as he says, are taught by the Spirit. Now, let me pull all of this together for just a moment. What you hold in your hand are those words that God has communicated His thoughts through His Spirit to individuals who have put them down so that you and I have the privilege to read them. God has communicated with us. And the only way we're going to know the thoughts of God that He wants us to know is by reading what He shared with us that He has given to us in His Word, His inspired Word. If you want to know God, read what you have. Study it. Grow in the grace, as Peter would say, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because only in that place are we going to find those things. Now, when you take all of this together, this is why what we find the Hebrew writer saying in Hebrews chapter 4, there in verse 12, is so important. This is why the Word of God, he says, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. He says, able to discern the thoughts and the intentions, or judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This Word of God, which is inspired of God and given to us through the men that the Holy Spirit inspired to write these things, is the Word which judges our thoughts and our intents. It discerns the things that we consider in our minds. It divides soul and spirit, joint and marrow, he says. There is not a more powerful work that you can grasp in your hands than what you have right now, which is the Word of God. And that Word is able to change lives and hearts and minds and souls. James described it as the implanted seed, which is able to save our souls. And this is why also it is so important that you and I, as Paul would say, are to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly handling the word of truth. Or as the King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God. And what you hold in your hand is not something that you can just read and grasp all of it. It takes study. It takes effort, because there are some things in that word that you hold that are difficult to understand. Peter said that about some of Paul's writings, that men wrestle with what he had written. And there are things I know that some of you struggle with, because some of you have come to me and say, would you help me to understand what he is saying here, or what's being said here, or what this means over here? And then also, why does God put some of the things in there that he puts in? Go back and read the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles and tell me why all of those genealogies are there. God has a reason for putting them there in his wisdom. I may not know the reason behind it, but he does. And you'll run into passages in Scripture that as you read it, you think, I don't understand what God's trying to say here. And there are commentaries in our library that different individuals have wrestled with different parts of a text, and they disagree over what is the meaning or what is to be the interpretation of that text. And that just lets you know that it takes work at times to understand God's Word. You have to work at it. But having said all of that, God has not given us the Scriptures merely to instruct us in the basics of the faith. He's not just given us the Scriptures so that we can go around and just say all the time, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. There is more to Scripture than just that. As a matter of fact, he gives us the Scriptures so that it might bring us, this is one of the things the Hebrew writer said, that it might bring us to maturity, and as he says in Hebrews 5 verse 14, that it might also cause us to have a solid diet. Because he talks about those who are raised upon milk need solid food, but solid food is for the mature. Or let me just share it with you. 5:14 of Hebrews. But solid food, he says, is for the mature, who because of the practice of their senses, or practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You see, we read the Scriptures so that we can discern what is right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. Because, folks, we have a culture now that calls evil good and good evil. That is going on in our society even as we sit here tonight. So if that's going on in society, and if that's what some are being educated to believe, then the question is, where do you go to find out what really is right and what really is wrong, what really is good and what really is evil? You have to go to the person who tells us and who created us. You have to go to God's Word. Or if you go on to what he says in the very first verse of chapter 6, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, he says, let us press on to maturity. God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to just stay where we're at. He expects us, as we become Christians, to grow and not have to go back again and keep laying the same foundation over and over. Because that word is designed to create mature individuals in the faith. God's inspired word, if we are to finish out what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Not only is it inspired of God, but he says it's profitable. It has a design to it. It has a purpose behind it. What is that purpose? He tells us it is to teach us. It is to reprove us when we are choosing the wrong way. It is even to correct us at times. It is to train us so that we might become righteous individuals, that we might know this is what God wants, and this is how we should live, and this is the way we should instruct, and this is the way we should walk if we're going to follow Him. Why? Why does God want all that? Because He has a design for you and me. He has something that He wants as an outcome in all of this. And that's what verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 brings out. so that we might be, King James uses the word perfect. It is a word that just means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work, or equipped for every good work. You see, God's goal is to grow you and me so that we become people who, as Paul would say, we're complete. We're equipped. We're ready to do God's will, whatever it may be. And we know what that will is, and we know how we're to carry it out, because why? We have been in the Word, studying the Word, growing in the Word, understanding it. And we want to be His people. My question for you tonight is really very simple. Do you read it? Do you study it? Are you growing in your understanding of it? You won't find a better piece of literature anywhere. You won't find a better guide for your life anywhere else in this world. Because this one comes from the one who created you. This guide comes from the one who knows how you function. He knows how you think. He knows what motivates you. He understands everything there is to know about you. And He has inspired these writers to give it to you so that He can say to you, here is what's best for you. Here is what I want for you. Here is what I'm promising you if you will listen to me. So the question is, are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you growing in your understanding of it? Because I believe as you do, as you begin to take His Word in, as David said in the first Psalm, as you meditate upon it, you're going to become, like David said, like as that tree that is planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. He says his leaf also shall not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's what God wants to do, but most of all, He wants to bring you home with Him. That's why He's given you His inspired Word. That's why He has spoken to you and to me through this Word. And He will continue to do so as long as we live and as long as we open its pages and study it to discern it in our lives. Tonight, if you have read this Word and you look at your own life and you have decided, my life is not what God wants it to be, then tonight, will you not give your life to Him in obedient faith? Will you not confess the name of His Son as Lord and Savior? Will you not be buried with Him in baptism so that God can take away your sin and cause you to be His? If you need to respond, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.